Minnesota, and in our state, like many others, at least for us though, this is the first year, we have been trying conference calls, and we've done two of them. The first one we did was called Healthy Foods, and it was so successful that we decided to repeat it for all of you. And so what we're going to do, we have two presenters, and each one of them has two recipes. So we'll let them take turns. We'll start with one of them, and then she'll do one recipe. And what we like to do is not just read the recipe. We can stop and talk about the steps. And we wanted to gear it a lot to new blind cooks as well, so that if we, and we can compare notes too, you know, as experienced cooks may have some. As the recipe calls to do a certain thing, and you're thinking to yourself, what's the best technique that a blind person has found to make it work, then we can stop and talk. So if you want to listen, and you want to press *6, you can mute your phone, but then when you want to say something, press *6 and unmute your phone. And when you do want to say something, it will be helpful if you'll say your name first, and then I can recognize you, so that we are not all talking at once, and so that the presenter at the time can also know to wait for your comment or question. So let's start with Jan Bailey. She'll do her first recipe. Now, those of you who may not know Jan, she is vice president of our Minnesota Senior Division, and she is a longtime teacher of blind adults and has taught a lot of cooking. So we're going to let her start with her first recipe.
Okay, this recipe is an easy dump dinner, slow cooker buttered chicken. This recipe is gluten-free, dairy-free, paleo, and it says Whole30, but I don't know what that means. It's some kind of a diet. Maybe if somebody knows, you'll care. This serves 4 to 6 people. The ingredients, 1 pound boneless, skinless chicken breast, excuse me, or chicken thighs, 1 medium onion diced, 2 teaspoons coconut oil, 4 cloves of garlic finely minced, 1 teaspoon fresh ginger finely minced, 1 teaspoon coriander, 1 teaspoon cumin, 1 teaspoon cardamom, 1/2 teaspoon salt, 1/4 to 1/2 teaspoon cayenne pepper. This is optional. 1 14-ounce coconut milk, full fat, please, it says. 1 6-ounce can of tomato paste. Juice of 1 lime. 1/4 cup cilantro or to taste. Instructions. In a medium saute pan, heat coconut oil, medium heat. Add onion and saute until translucent and fairly tender. And I just do this for maybe 3 or 4 minutes. And you can start to smell the onions. They get soft, and that's a pretty good indication because it's going to be cooking in the crock pot. Add garlic, ginger, spices, and salt. Cook 1 minute longer, till all the spices are fragrant and amazing. Stir in coconut milk and tomato paste and stir until well combined.
Well, I have to ask, does it really say and amazing?
It does. This is okay. An online recipe. So people put in little editorials. Add chicken to the slow cooker. Pour sauce over everything. Cook on high heat for 3 to 4 hours or on low heat for 6 to 8 hours. Shred or dice chicken into the sauce. Excuse me. Squeeze in lime juice, top with cilantro, and serve with your favorite vegetable, rice, or naan. Notes. Can I just dump and go? Yes. If you are short on time, you can absolutely pour all the sauce ingredients into the crock of your slow cooker. Give it a whisk, then add the chicken. I prefer starting the sauce on the stovetop as shown because the onions are meltingly tender and the sauce is less likely to have any lumps. But hundreds of readers have successfully made this a dump and go recipe. That's my recipe.
Okay, now let's see if anybody has any questions about that recipe or comments, or if you've ever known anything like it that you want to share. We'll wait just a second to see if anybody unmutes their line. Okay. It seems like it's a pretty straight recipe that should be easy to do. All right, so our next one is going to be from Teresa Giffrere. And Teresa is a lot newer to the Federation and has taken us by storm with all the things that she's getting involved in doing. She spoke on our agenda last year at the National Convention Senior Division, and we learned about the class that she took through Blind Incorporated for its senior program. And ever since then, she's been very active in the NFB. She's now secretary of our senior division, and she engineers a lot of fundraisers that we do. We just did one in Minneapolis last Saturday where we had two fundraisers going at once in Cub Food. That's a store where you bag your own groceries. So there is a fundraiser with high school students who bag groceries, and then we give out information about the NFB, and people donate money to get their groceries bagged. And along with that, outside of the store, we ran their hot dog stand for them. And it was quite a day. We made close to $1,000 in that one day. So that was Teresa's doing, with a lot of help from her friends. So, Teresa, if you're ready to do your first recipe.
Okay. I'm not sure how many of you are familiar with the Instapot or pressure cookers. This is the digital electrical ones I'm speaking of. And so this recipe is used in a pressure cooker Instapot, or it can be done as in a crock pot, one of those, I guess, like dump and go situations. I am going to start with the ingredients, and this is barbecued shredded chicken, and the ingredients are as follows. It would be 2 pounds of boneless chicken breast, 1 cup barbecue sauce, whatever your favorite is, 1/4 cup creamy Italian dressing, 1/4 cup brown sugar, 1/4 cup of Worcestershire sauce. And primarily the ingredients. So you can tell it's pretty simple, and most of those ingredients is in everybody's pantry. So for the pressure cooker, you are going to just lay the chicken breast right in the bottom of the pressure cooker, and then you're going to just dump everything else on top of it. You're going to attach the lid, and you can either, depending on the type of pressure cooker, you will either select the chicken button, or you will set by manual, and that would be 14 minutes. And the cooking time does not start technically cooking with these digital pressure cookers until it comes up to pressure. So once that happens, you would release the steam and pull your chicken breasts out. You will pull them apart and then put everything back into the pressure cooker and then do the same thing for an additional 2 minutes. And voila, everything is done. You can serve this on many different things. Your favorite bun, bread, flour tortilla, and even as a lettuce wrap, if that's what you would prefer.
This is in an Instapot, right?
Yeah. But the Instapot, but they have also is known as one of those digital pressure cookers.
But there are other kinds of pressure cookers though. So would the time be different on those if it's not in an Instapot?
No. It would be all the same type of minutes. With the Instapot, sometimes, or some of them will tell you it will speak. I'm not sure how many of the there are out there. Rumor has it that the Instapot, like the Bluetooth and those types of ones, are going to be discontinued. That may have already happened. But there are people out there that still have those that speak. So if you're fortunate to have one of those, then you would push the chicken button, and it would tell you that it's either 12 or 14 minutes.
Right.
Otherwise, you would always use the manual and select the minutes. You just and when you use the manual, you would push the button, a minute per push. So it's going to start out as 1 minute, so you hit it 14 times to bring it to 14 minutes.
Yeah.
So and it's all done. What's nice about the pressure cookers and the Instapot meals is that it's, 30 minutes, and you can primarily be sitting down to a meal that normally, like with, I will give the instructions for the crock pot. Crock pot is like an all day, 4 or 5 hours or those types of situations. And sometimes, it'll be 3 o'clock in the afternoon and something's in, you want to do this recipe. You can actually put frozen chicken into the Instapot or pressure cooker. You can, and like I said, most ingredients you will have right there in your pantry. You can substitute regular Italian dressing for the creamy. So if you particularly did not have creamy Italian dressing, you could substitute that. And the only difference with the slow cooker or crock pot is that, like I had mentioned, it's 4 to 5 hours, roughly, before just after 4 hours, you start checking it to see if the chicken starts falling apart. And that's kind of your indicator. If you can start to move it apart, then you can do that right there in the crock pot, shred it, or you can lift the chicken out and put it on a cutting board and do it and then put it back in. That would be, I guess, your personal preference on that. And then you would just put it back in the crock pot for about another 30 minutes, roughly, and it's ready. So that's technically the only difference is the time. on the crock pot. There is something sometimes I like to garnish it with, is coleslaw. So if you like that, if you go to a barbecue joint and they how they put the different types of coleslaw on top of their shredded beef sandwiches or chicken sandwiches, you can do that. This recipe also can be used with pork and beef. You just have to adjust sometimes the cooking time. And when it starts falling apart, you know you're ready to go. So that's my first recipe.
Okay, let's stop for a minute, see if anybody has thought of anything they want to ask about or comment on. If any of you have used Instapots and you want to comment on their use, most people that I know have found them to be extremely accessible. So I've never used one, so I don't know whether I agree with that or not, but I think I probably would.
Teresa here. If you are vegetable eaters and you like fresh vegetables and steam them, the Instapot is fabulous for that type of stuff. You can do, like, say, a mashed potato, do the potatoes in there in a matter of, like, 8 minutes. So, and, like, sweet potatoes, if you like the sweet potatoes, and then add your ingredients and mash them together. You have your broccoli, your cauliflower, all those types of things, and carrots are one of my favorites. But anyway, you get my point that it is an awesome tool to have.
Okay.
This is Jan. The only thing I would do different in that recipe, I would stir my sauce up together before I put it in there because brown sugar sometimes doesn't like to dissolve.
You know, you're absolutely right, Jan. I apologize. I usually do that. I guess I kind of got a little nervous taking and left that out. Thank you for pointing that out, Jan.
It takes a village
yeah.
for us to cook. All right, Jan, you want to go with your next one?
I called this Jan Sheet Pan Chicken Dinner because I made it up. I did it from reading many recipes, but I made my own because I just wanted to make a dinner for one. And so I took a lot of ideas from a lot of the recipes, and this is what I came up with. This is an odd temperature. You preheat the oven to 385 degrees. But I got that from one of the recipes, and when I tried it, it worked great.
Okay, that's why I wondered how you came up with that temperature, if you made this up.
No, I as I said, I borrowed a lot of things from these other recipes.
Okay.
And that was one of the things I borrowed. I tried it, and I liked it. Take 2 tablespoons of olive oil and 2 tablespoons of lemon juice and put them in a small bowl. Add seasoned salt or herbamare or herbe de Provence to the olive oil and juice. I found this herbamare, H-E-R-B-A-M-A-R-E, at Hy-Vee and at the health food store. It's just a lot of spices and sea salt with no chemicals. Add 3 or 4 chicken tenders. Marinate this while you prepare your vegetables. Take 2 or 3 baby red potatoes and slice them into rounds. If you're really watching your carbs, you could leave out these potatoes and just substitute other vegetables. Place them in a bowl with 2 tablespoons of olive oil and the same mixture of seasonings. Add sliced onions, zucchini, frozen pepper strips, frozen green beans, or whatever you choose to use for vegetables. And you don't want to cut the onions. You don't want to chop them real fine. You want kind of slices of onions. Otherwise, they get too done. Marinate this while your oven is coming up to temperature. Take a cookie sheet and line it with non-stick foil or regular foil with a few drops of olive oil. Lay out your marinated chicken tenders onto one side of the cookie sheet.
Okay, Jan, before you do that, when you began by marinating these, are you, so you're not putting them directly on the cookie sheet right away. Where did you put them in?
A bowl.
Okay.
Yeah, I said that.
So and everything's
you,
in the
you
bowl.
You put the vegetables in a different bowl.
Okay.
And then you lay out your marinated chicken tenders onto one side of the cookie sheet. Lay out the marinated potatoes and chosen vegetables onto the other side of the cookie sheet. Bake in your preheated 385-degree oven for 22 to 23 minutes until meat and vegetables are fully cooked. You can double this recipe for two people.
Now, how do you know when the, unless the 22 to 23 minutes works every time, how do you know they're fully cooked?
Well, I have a talking thermometer, so I check the chicken's 165 degrees, and I just take a fork, and if the vegetables feel tender, then I know they're done.
Okay.
And it, and the chicken, too, it feels tender when you poke it with a fork.
Mm-hmm.
But I like this because you just have enough for a meal, and if you like leftovers, you could make it for two and then save half of it and just have to reheat it.
All right. Anybody want to comment on that one? That one is a little different than the first two recipes we had in the way that it is cooked. It's, we're just using a regular oven, and it's all on a cookie sheet. Okay. All right. We will take Teresa's last recipe, and then we should have time after that for people to give cooking hints if you've got any special ones. You will notice that we called this healthy eating, but I don't think anyone would be adverse to any hints about chocolate that anybody wants to give when we finish this. But we'll have the last healthy recipe by Teresa.
Okay, this one is an Instant Pot tortilla soup. And this one here can also be done on a stovetop in like a stock pot. So the ingredients are as follows. You would have 1 tablespoon of olive oil, 1 can fire-roasted tomatoes diced. That's roughly about a 14.5-ounce can.
Ew.
And then you would have 1.5-cup frozen corn, 1.5-ounce black beans, like 1 can, rinsed and drained very well, and then 1 pound of chicken breast, sliced through the middle. Basically, you know how you have your thin end, and then it's usually thicker? You would slice that in half as part of, actually, that's kind of more of the prep. Okay, continuing. Okay, then it would be 2 garlic cloves, finely chopped. I have substituted minced garlic, you know, in that little jar, and that works fine as well. 2 teaspoons chili powder, 1 teaspoon ground cumin, 2 teaspoons ground coriander, 1 teaspoon paprika, 3/4 teaspoon salt, and 32 ounces of chicken broth, low sodium. And you can use as an option the vegetable stock as well.
Now, there is motion at your front door.
Optional add-ons would be
7, 5, 9, 6, 3, 3, *1*9**8, 5, 7, 5, 1, 7.
Juice of 1 lime, 2 tablespoons chopped cilantro, and a handful of tortilla chips. how you would put this together. I guess the instructions, like I said, if the chicken breasts are too thick, then you just want to slice right through the middle. And then you would, at this point, which is optional, put our, I find the chicken to be more flavorful that way. Rinse and drain the canned beans, as mentioned earlier. Okay, turn on your Instapot and add all the ingredients to the pot except for your garnishes. And there is no particular order at all. Then you're going to set your pressure cooker, set the lid, and then you would set the pressure cooker to manual and press cook for 8 minutes. So you would press it again 8 times. And then set the valve to whatever your setting would be on the pot. It's usually in duo to vent. Then you would release, once it has come up again, like I mentioned, to the pressure, then it cooks for that 8 minutes. Then you're going to release the pressure manually, if it's taking too long, you can do the quick release, but basically that's just moving the knob, the pressure release, and it'll shoot straight up, and you'll know the difference right away. Then you will open the lid, pull your chicken breast, and shred. Then you're going to put them back in the soup or the pan, and bring back up to temperature. And that would primarily be you'll squeeze your lime juice on top and garnish with your favorite topping. On stovetop, it's basically the same instructions. You would reduce the heat to medium and let it cook for around 20 minutes after your ingredients are put in. And then you're going to shred it like you would in the Instapot. Once this is done, you can turn it off and the heat and shred the chicken. Oh, right. That's a repeat on here. Sorry. You just let it sit again, to bring it up to temperature and heat, and then serve with your favorite garnishing. That's pretty much it. If there's any questions, let me know.
Okay, so we found 4 ways to cook chicken. which is actually one of the most popular meals around, and it's a low-cost meat usually, so it's a very popular thing and healthy. All right, I think if there are any questions about that last recipe, we can take them, but also we would be open for, we probably have, about 20 minutes left, I think? Yeah, okay. So if anybody wants to make some of their own suggestions or ask a question, we are now open to do that.
Ruth?
Yes, Ruth.
I had a question. Are those Instapots all one size or are they different sized?
Oh, that's a fantastic
question. 3-quarts or 2-quarts or front,
Okay, that's a very good question.
Did Dale just answer it, I think? Say that again? Or who answered the size of quarts?
Nobody answered.
No, I was asking if they're different size. That's
yes. And actually, and this is Teresa, and yes, they are. I personally have a 6-quart, and for me, day-to-day type use, that's a perfect size, but I'm one person. I happen to entertain a lot, so I wish I would have purchased the 8-quart, but they usually, the smallest one would buy is 6 quarts. They do make them a little smaller, but those are more for using for rice cooker or different types of things. I would not personally recommend anything lower than a 6 quart. And it goes 6, 8, and I think a 13. They may come bigger, but those are the three sizes I'm personally familiar with.
But do they have to be, like, I know some crock pots, you have to have them about two-thirds full. If you have a recipe and it's only a third full, it doesn't cook. So is there...
You can use your Instapot. I know the Instapot does, mm-hmm. and I know most of the pressure cookers, the digital mm-hmm. ones, they do as a crock pot as well.
I see.
Okay. So there is I've never had that happen. I've always had enough in my crock pot juices, so.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then I had a question for Jan about how does your talking meat thermometer work?
Pretty good. You have to be very careful, though, not to touch the bottom of the pan, because you kind of want to get in the middle and about halfway down your piece of meat.
Mm-hmm.
Because you want to get inside there, otherwise you really won't. And you have to leave it in there for a little bit. So I usually leave it in there and press it, and then I wait and I press it maybe two or three more times mm-hmm. to be sure that it's really gotten up to temperature.
Okay.
This is Susie. Where do you get a talking thermometer?
I think that the Independence Market sells them, but I'm not positive about that. But I know Independent Living Aid sells it. Quite a few places sell it.
Okay.
I think they're even on Amazon.
This is Shelley, and I think the Independent Market does sell them.
I think so,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, they do.
Yes, I believe they do, too.
And many of them could also be used for candy, but then you have to have the little thing to fit on the side of the pan because, again, you don't want that thermometer to hit the bottom of the pan or it won't give you an accurate reading of your candy.
Right.
Oh, Teresa, the one I know that I looked at last year at convention, I don't think it had the candy setting. So there is one, though, because I love to make candy. So there is one out there, then.
Yes, you have to make sure that it says that it has that little thing to go on the side of the pan that you kind of hang from, and then make sure it's not touching the bottom of the pan.
Thank you.
Who else has a question or comment? Anybody have a quick recipe off the top of their head that they want to share? We'll even take it if it's not healthy.
Well, I have a one little other tip I wanted to pass along.
Okay.
Whenever I make, made meatloaf, I always found that they put the meat in there first. It tells you to, but what I find works better is to put either your oatmeal, your bread or crackers, whatever, and your milk, if you use that, or ketchup or tomato sauce, all your liquids and spices. And I mix that up first real good, and then I add the meat and stir it, and then I get in there with my hands, and I find it mixes better than if you put the meat in first.
That's very interesting. I've always put the meat in.
Mixing things is sometimes, if you don't get it mixed right, that's not good. And the other thing with the meatloaf is getting those peppers and onions, if you use them, chopped real fine. If the pieces are too big, then it makes your meatloaf fall apart. And somebody just told me another tip that when you're done, take your thumb and make several holes in the top of the meatloaf. It's supposed to help it bake evenly.
You mean when you're done putting it together?
Yeah. And you should do that when you make a hamburger patty, too. Stick your thumb in the middle a little bit.
And that does work. I can contest to that, but that works fabulous with the hamburgers.
evenly.
Yeah, what it does too is it helps so they don't shrink or up, or they kind of go into like a meatball shape sometimes and shrink, and it just, it evenly cooks it and they stay more of a hamburger shape.
So you make the patty, and then you're saying you stick your finger in the patty?
Yeah, you put your finger kind of in the middle of the patty, your thumb.
Just make one little...
A little indent.
So you're going straight up and down with your thumb, not making a flat thumbprint.
No, you put flat thumbprint.
Oh, flat thumbprint.
Oh.
Yeah.
It keeps, and then it's Susie, it keeps it from making a hill in the middle and not getting done.
Yeah.
And I've heard of it from cooking on the grill that way, too.
Yeah.
This is Bob Gardner from Illinois. My first question is, am I the only guy on this call?
No, I think Dale was here.
You are not the only guy.
Kirk,
I'm here, and I'm another guy.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Okay. my real question is, are the recipes that you're talking about here, are they going to be put out in any kind of written form? Or what kind of form?
Well, you know, one thing... Actually,
yes,
what we could do? You see, when we did our Minnesota group, I said that anybody who wanted them, we'd email them to you. But that might be more awkward in this. What we'll do is put them on the senior list. Does everybody subscribe to that?
Right.
It's one of the, it's on the NFB net. It's one of our lists, and it's our senior listserv. And I recommend that you do that, and then I'll get these put together, and we'll put them that way. And if you don't have that, and you can, you have somebody's email who might, maybe they'll share them as soon as we get them out there.
Well, if people would, this is Susie, if people would do that, they'd also get notifications of the meetings.
Yes. Well, they must have gotten that.
We should all be on the NFB senior list.
Yeah, but however they got the notification for this, it worked. So they wouldn't be on the call if they didn't.
True.
Hello, this is Sarah. Is there any other recipe I can access? You guys have some kind of collection recipe, something like that?
Well, the NFB has some cookbooks.
In Braille?
Yes.
Okay.
And also, if you read the Braille Monitor, that's our national publication.
Right.
There are recipes in it.
I want to have some kind of collection so I can, select the bag.
You can collect every one of those.
Okay.
Every month you'll be able to add to your collection.
Oh, okay. All right. I got to make my own collection.
Well, no, you can buy Braille cookbooks.
Yeah, from independent market?
Yes, and also National Braille Press. Has a lot of cookbooks.
Okay.
And if any of you have the Echo, you can ask Alexa to find a recipe for you.
Oh, okay.
Sure. I can search by dish name and ingredients. What would you like?
I see. There's a name. You can enable all recipes.
Okay. I'll say A. I should call her A and not her name.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
That's a recipe.
Hello?
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
This is Jeanette Stewart. I did not get notification of this particular conference call.
All right. You're on it. How'd you get here?
Really? From Cheryl Thurston, she gave me the information, but don't get...
Well, good for her.
Yes, that's the only way.
That means you need to subscribe to our listserv. Do you get emails?
Yes.
All right. Ask Cheryl how to sign up for the listserv so that you
can get what she got directly.
Okay, a list service? L-I-S-T?
Yeah, list, L-I-S-T-S-E-R-V-E.
No, no E, just S-E-R-V, listserv.
Okay.
And so, I bet she can tell you how to do it. We talked about this once before, I think. And Ruth, maybe you want to comment on how to do it directly.
Well, I think you can go to seniors-nfbnet@nfbnet.org, and that should get you to the senior page. And then there's a subscribe there, and it tells you how to subscribe.
Okay.
So it's seniors-nfbnet@nfbnet.org.
NFBnet.org. You could probably go to nfb.org and look under division, find the senior division, and then look, subscribe. Might be easier.
Okay. Yeah, and we do have information there posted for different things. So that would be a good idea for these recipes.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, we might be running out of time here. Robert, do you want to put the timer on us or something?
Well, let's see. What time is it?
10 to 4.
Oh, okay. Yep. Well, any other? Yes. Oh, I thought somebody, okay. Anybody else want to add a quick, nobody's given us a
I just wanted to ask if anybody, some of the things they're doing with the new, stoves and things is connected them to your Echoes and Alexas, et cetera. And you can say to Alexa, turn the oven up to 385, and she'll do it. So I wondered if anybody has done that. I have an old stove, so I can still do mine the old way, but I know it's going to fade on me pretty soon, and they told me I cannot repair it. So I may have to go to something more modern.
You have to buy the stove that is a smart stove.
Right.
You have to buy some sort of an interface that works
with it. Okay.
With Miss A.
I'll tell you something, Ruth. The stove that I have, which is a new kind,
uh-huh.
is a flat top stove. But also the oven is one that it's a smooth surface. You can sort of feel where the indents are, but I use, the dots to put them on so I know where to press. But when you want to set the temperature, it defaults at 350, mm-hmm. and there's a plus and a minus spot.
Mm-hmm.
So for every time you press it, it beeps and it goes up 5 or goes down 5.
Yeah, that's kind of how my old stove is. It works nicely that way. But I know that.
I want to make a point out. So these Bluetooth and these new technology type appliances, one thing you need to keep in the back of your mind is they need to be in it, they work internet based. And so like where I live in the area, I don't have the gigabytes or whatever use that function on my stove, and then say my internet or on my email at the same time, it would not take that way. So that is a note when you're looking for new appliances that have that function enabled, is to check with your internet company to make sure.
I'd like to
make one more comment about stoves. I go to many homes and teach, and I've been to a few that the stove is not usable by a blind person.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that, and there's washers like this too, so
mm-hmm.
I recommend if you go, make sure they turn it on and show you how to work it.
if you get near a button, it goes off. If your hand is above it, it goes off. So you can't explore it because every place you touch, you hear beep, 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 and it goes off.
Yeah. So when you're shopping, you got to be careful with
absolutely.
And if they just don't just say to the clerk, is this accessible? Because the clerk will say, oh, sure. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And we can always get advice from our own technology center.
Because I find in the store, unless you go to a real specialty store that sells high-end stuff, many of the clerks know nothing about, they're just there to take your money.
True.
Well, this is Susie. There's an electronics list on the NFB net that you can become a member of.
Yeah.
And they talk about such things.
Oh, good to know. And if you don't want to do that all the time, you could go do it right before you were going to buy and
ask a question.
Yes. I don't think I'd want to listen to all.
Because some of those lists can get pretty high traffic.
This is Susie. I just joined the hearing aid list, and it is very active. I never would have believed it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's not an NFB, it's a iPhone type list.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anybody have one last? Who asked for the floor? Okay. Anybody have one last call for action here?
Are we going to have any talk? This is Susie. Are we going to talk some about what we're going to do at the convention and things like that? Is there a planning committee or something?
The senior division officers will probably plan the agenda, and then unless Ruth wants to comment on anything that she knows.
Well, our meeting will be on Tuesday afternoon. I do know that. Of course, I don't know the location that'll be published. It should be out. The agenda should be out next month sometime. We are certainly going to discuss our retreat and have some of our participants who went, because that was our first retreat that we had last year. We've had some other presenters who want to share some things with us. And we are going to have the Blind History Lady also speak at our national meeting too. So, and the other thing is, we'll just come and see and you'll find out what's happening. We'll see.
Susie,
we have asked for a seminar room, and I don't know the time. That we are working with Jessica Beecham to have a seminar on Sunday afternoon on healthy living and exercise, particularly stretching properly and so forth. So
I would love that.
Yeah, that should be Sunday afternoon, but again, I don't have the agenda. I know what I asked for, but that doesn't mean I got what I asked for. So we'll see when the agenda comes out. You'll know when I know.
Okay.
Can I just say one last thing?
Yes.
Can. If people are interested in exercise, there is a website called blindalive.com, and it's gone out of business, but they're giving all their stuff away. Now, I don't know how long it's going to be up, but there's like 23 or 24, quite a few different types of exercises. There's yoga, there's stuff for the beginners, there's pilates. I can't begin to tell you all of it. So you might want to go there because it's for the blind. They give very good descriptions, and I don't know how much longer it's going to be available. So I thought I'd...
And the New Jersey affiliate took everything and put it up, so even when theirs goes down, it should be available on the New Jersey Senior Division website.
Okay, good.
So they do have that.
But it's very good because most videos we just can't follow.
Right.
You can see, and they don't tell you what to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that's a good thought.
We, by the way, that was our second seminar in our Minnesota conference call world.
Mm-hmm.
We actually, with that one, we told everybody to mute their phones, and then we ran one of the CDs, and we all did exercises, and then at the end we talked about it.
And I just picked about the easiest one I could find.
Good.
It went real well.
All right. Everybody, I think we're probably about out of time, unless, Ruth, you have anything else?
No, that's all I have, I believe.
All right. We'll say thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thank
and
you, Teresa, and thank you, Jan.
Yes, you're welcome.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.